so much stuff to cover today. It's that time of year, baby. Boston Celtics, 114-94, winners over the Miami Heat in Game 1. Boston Bruins, 5-1, winners in Game 1 over Toronto. Both teams off to a fantastic start. The sports machine was slim, off to a fantastic start this Monday morning. Where should we start? You would think I'd be thrilled because both of my teams won, Celtics and Bruins, but I'm not thrilled. I'm still actually very upset. I've been carrying this around with me all weekend long. Why, you might ask? If you listened to the show last week, you probably can guess. The Chicago Bulls guarantee I gave out to people against the Miami Heat. Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? That game was absolute ridiculousness. The Chicago Bulls, who had looked so great 2 days before, went on the road, go to Miami, and just, like, don't even show up at all. I watched the game intently because when I give out guaranteed winners on this program, I need them to win. And when they don't, I carry that around like a, I don't know, like a cross on my back almost. I feel horrible that I gave that out as a guarantee. And it's going to take me a little while to get over it. Very disappointing. Billy Donovan. How does that guy go in and have a job for next season? There's no way. There's just no way he can have a job next season. I mean, this team, the coaching, it made all the difference. Although I will say, home court obviously matters. If we look at the first round of the NBA playoffs and the last few, the play-in games, the home teams were 8-for-8 yesterday and this weekend. First round of the playoffs, 8-0. Home team wins every game. We finally had a close one last night where the young Oklahoma City team beats New Orleans by a deuce. Watching these games, I mean, the home teams just came out absolutely on fire. Celtics lead among them. Opened up, what, 9-0 to start the game. Looked like we might win by 1,000. Then, boom, by the end of the first period, what, I think Miami had cut it down to 4 or 5 points? And you start to go, oh, no, not this again. Is Miami coming in here in the first game and just, like, upset the Celtics when we all thought we were going to win by a million like we had been during the regular season? When we got up by that many points, how many times have we just cruised to 30-point-plus victories? But Celts opened it right back up. Got into the mid-20s at some point, and then at the very end. And this is where I can lead into my thoughts on the Boston fan base. The Bruins fans Saturday night, I heard they were rocking and rolling. It seemed like they were. They did a solid job. The Celtics fans yesterday, we brought the heat early. It's easy to do that when all the threes are going in. Everything's fantastic. But I will tell you something. At the end of the game, and I thought this out loud, and I texted it over to a person or two. The spread on that game was 14 points yesterday, right? And the Celts were up by like 22 midway through the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, the Miami Heat start just like nailing threes and looking like a team of destiny to cover the spread for themselves. They nailed three threes, I think three possessions in a row. Tatum missed a layup. And I noticed the crowd on the TV. Nobody standing. Nobody cheering. Everybody just with a look of, oh no, are the Celtics maybe going to lose this? And I didn't know if people are thinking, are they going to lose my bet or are they going to lose the game? Because we were still kind of comfortably in charge. We're still up by 14 points. I think they got it down to 12 or maybe 9, did they, with about 3 minutes and change left? And I just was like, oh no, the crowd ain't going to help us out right now, dude. The crowd ain't going to help us out at all. We need the players on the court to be able to stand up and stem the tide. Because if Miami had gotten another stop and cut it down to 6 or something, like, I think the fans might have started booing. I think they, or at the very least, they would have all been scared, and you would have felt that if you were on the Celtics bench. I wrote an article yesterday and sent it over through Facebook. I responded to a few Celtics groups on Facebook. I'll tell you, there is a ton of fan interaction on Facebook regarding the Boston Celtics. These different groups bleed green. I forget the names of the other groups that I'm on, but I posted the article that I wrote, and it was probably, I don't know, 500 words? It was pretty good. It was challenging the Boston fans because I am literally worried about our fan base. And when it comes time to get tough, are we going to be there as a source of inspiration for the players? Don't tell me that it doesn't matter. The home teams in the NBA just went 8-0 this weekend. Don't tell me the fans don't make a difference. Of course they do. Of course the home crowd energy makes a difference. But when things get tough, do the home fans get negative or just like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm just watching. Nothing good's happening, so I'm just going to watch. Or do they go, I'm going to make something good happen. Let's go, Celtics. Let's go. Let's make it happen. Time's going to tell. Against the Miami Heat, it's not going to matter. And I point to a quote from Kendrick Perkins I saw on Facebook. I'd like to read it to you if it's on my phone, if I can get access to it quickly enough. But what I will tell you he said is the something, I guess, with the Miami Heat could make shoot 100% from three-point land and shoot 100% with all their field goals and still get swept this series. Like, he's totally right. Obviously, he's just having fun with his prediction skills there, but the Miami Heat have literally no chance to beat the Celtics in this series. They might be able to win a game. They are never going to be able to beat us 7. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Jaime Jaquez from UCLA, who's like a 23-year-old rookie, 24-year-old rookie, was by far their best player and best creator yesterday. And he was like, what was he? Number 18 pick in the draft. Like, he's a tough guy. I like him. He's a tough player, hard-nosed, haircut, pretty good. He's got flowing locks. I got nothing against the haircut. I like Jaime Jaquez. I think he's a pretty solid player. But if he's your best player, like, you have no chance to win. And the Miami Heat knows this, and Eric Spoelstra knows this, obviously, which is why he called the timeout down by about 17 with, I think, a minute and a half left. And I got a quote and a piece of news here that I'm going to share on segment 3 of the show today. Brian Scalabrine calling Spoelstra and the Miami Heat out, and Caleb Martin. Did you see this? Do you know what I'm talking about, everybody? There was only a minute or so left in the game. Shot goes up for Miami. Jason Tatum is there to get a defensive rebound. He's in clear, perfect position. Well, Caleb Martin comes body checking in out of nowhere. And we got a phone caller that's coming in out of nowhere. Welcome to the show, The Sports Machine with Slim.
Hi, this is Dan. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dan. Hey, yeah, I interacted with you yesterday on one of those Facebook groups about the Celtics. Those are pretty cool how we get so many Celtics fans in one spot, huh?
It is cool. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. I don't know if you call Sports Talk Radio regularly or what.
I do now and then, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't call very often, but, you know, when I saw your invite, I was like, yeah, I'm free on Monday morning in between seeing accounts, so I'd love to jump on for a little bit.
Cool. Hey, I hope you could do it regularly if you can bring some heat and some fire. I love people that can come in with good takes. Even if they're totally opposite of mine, I'll still give you plenty of air time. So what's your big takeaway from the Celtics game yesterday?
Well, I mean, so you interacted with me regarding my post, which was, you know, oh my God, you know, I see people, you know, posting so much during the game that they're actually can't be possibly watching the game.
Yeah, there's so many people just like, especially on Twitter, I notice like post, oh, this play. Are they actually able to enjoy the game at all? I have no idea, so I really like that post by you.
Exactly. I mean, like, I went on Twitter after the game because I wanted to see how Tatum was doing, and I wanted to see if there was anybody that had any updates. And all of a sudden, I click on a couple of different people, and I'm like, oh, my God, this person literally posted, like, over 40 times an hour during the game, right? And I'm like, there's no way that if you're posting multiple sentences every minute that you're watching the game.
Do you think that's a real fan, Dan, or is that somebody just trying to get like followers for social media?
Good question. I mean, I look at their profile, and they can't claim to be Celtics this and Celtics that, and they're constantly posting about the Celtics. So, good question. I mean, I would say that they're, you know, they like the Celtics, but, you know, are they a real fan? You know, you would have to, you know, kind of define that. I mean, like, you know, I believe that there are fraud fans out there. There are fans that, you know, claim that they're, you know, a Celtics fan or a Red Sox fan, you know, but then you'll see them, you know, turn their back on the team. And then when the team starts playing well, then they're all back on board. And I'm like, really? That's the kind of fan you are?
Exactly, Dan. We hit the commercial break coming up right around now. I'm glad that you called the show. If you want to be calling in during the week or anytime during the playoffs, call right back. I think we're going to have a lot of fun on the Sports Machine with Slim over the upcoming weeks here on WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, or the radio dials, nhtalkradio.com is where you can find us online. We got started with the Celtics a little bit there. Now I want to very quickly pivot and just jump full throttle into the NHL, which is, I mean, if the Bruins and the Celtics are both on starting at 7:15 tonight, I'm tuning my dial definitely to the Bruins first. And I know that part of that's because I know the Celtics are going to beat Miami. But I also know that the Bruins are going to beat Toronto. And Thomas Polk, our local licensed health insurance and Medicare broker, is on the line right now. Thomas, I hope you're as fired up about this Bruins team as I am.
Oh, they played great. It was a great start to the first game. I mean, obviously, they came out guns blazing and took it to them. But, you know, Toronto's not going to give up. They have way too good a team. And some of the, you know, good players like Austin Matthews, even though he didn't have any goals, and everybody's going to chirp him for having 69 goals in the regular season, not scoring in the first. The guy had a good game, plenty of chances. So last thing you want is him getting hot.
Well, this is a thing about the Austin Matthews guy that the whole NHL knows about. He was going for 70 goals in the last two games of the regular season. He didn't get a goal, but in his very last game, he had something like 12 shots on net and got stone cold denied. I think he had two or three like real, real good scoring chances, and he couldn't put the puck in the net. He had another one or two in game number one, Thomas, against the Bruins, and he couldn't put it in either.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things about goal scoring, right? Unfortunately, all you can ask for is getting your chances, whether they go in or not. You know, that's a different story sometimes. But, you know, the guy's a great player. We obviously know he can score goals, and that's the last guy, as I said, that you want to get having a good feeling and being able to, you know, get on the board multiple times. But so far, the Bruins have done a great job, you know, obviously keeping the puck out of their net. And if they can keep that going and stay on him, then they'll be just fine.
Speaking about a guy getting hot and scoring multiple goals, how about Jake DeBrusk's effort in game one, Thomas? I'm so glad that the Bruins did not trade this guy at the All-Star break, because if we rewind just a couple of months, I seem to remember me saying on this show multiple times, don't trade this guy. This is a guy who has high upside, who I think can come through for us in the playoffs. Do you remember me saying that?
Of course. I mean, that's the thing with Jake DeBrusk, right? We know he's a great player. We know he can put the puck in the net and get some points. And obviously with a three-point performance in the first game, it shows it. Hopefully he can keep it for the whole playoffs and not go into a slump, which sometimes happens to him. But we talked about it. You know, he's still a younger player. He's not a seasoned veteran of 10, 15 years like a Marchand. So, you know, I'm good with him. I think he's great, and I'm happy they kept him.
He's unrestricted free agent at the end of this season, right? So if he wants, he can leave the team, and we can't match or anything like that. Like, he's just gone. He's probably gone either way because we're up against the salary cap and stuff, I'd imagine, Thomas, no?
Well, it's one of those things, right? You want him to be lights out right now. You want him to perform just the way he did in game one and go all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals and hopefully win it. That's the case. It's going to be tough to keep him because his, obviously income is going to increase. His value is going to increase and he's going to be able to ask for way more money. But, you know, I think the Bruins are not worried about this right now. They're worried about first round and then winning the cup, and whatever comes after comes after.
Exactly. The only reason I even brought that up, Thomas, is because Don Sweeney has made all the right moves with this team, with keeping DeBrusk, with bringing in Andrew Peak, who to me is like, dude, he's good. I mean, I know there were problems with him, I guess, when he was in Columbus prior to coming here, but ever since he's come here, I'm like, dude, he gives our third D core, like, we're rock solid. And most importantly, what Pat Maroon has brought to this team. In game one, I noticed it with those hits. He laid like three guys out at different times, Thomas.
Well, I mean, we know this, right? Pat Maroon won three cups in a row there, two with Tampa, one with St. Louis. He's a great player. Never going to be the leading scorer on your team, but obviously his voice in the locker room is going to help. Losing guys like Bergeron and Krejci last year, it's important to have someone like him here. And if you look at it, I've read some interesting stats. The Bruins are the only team that has six, I believe, 100-point seasons without having a Stanley Cup. So that's pretty rare. I mean, they're always good. That shows to what Sweeney does with the team. He always puts a good team together. They always have a chance, and they're right there. Now it's time to close it up.
Well, I want to get to the goalie conversation, but first, I saw this post on Twitter, and I don't know if it's a fake, like, AI-generated video. I don't believe that that's the case. You tell me, because you played in the NHL for 5 years. Pre-game, Pat Maroon and the Bruins are warming up, and you skate on your half of the ice. Is there an unwritten rule where you don't cross over the center line into the other team's half of the ice?
Yes.
Very much so? 100%. 100%? Like, this is hardcore enforced?
Well, you don't see it as much at the NHL level. If you go down to the minor leagues, there's always one or two issues throughout the year where, you know, guys take advantage of it. And that's where your top guys come in and go have an issue with the other guy. You just stay on your own side. You don't cross over.
Okay,
you don't touch them on the other side. It's just the way it goes.
You heard it right there from Thomas. What I'm going to tell you, Thomas, is the video I saw on Twitter pregame is Pat Maroon. Multiple times when he's skating in circles, like three times in a row, he crossed over that center ice line. And I'm just like, listen, everybody that's a fan of the Bruins, if you don't get it by now, if you've been listening to the show, like, I don't know what I can say, but this team has everything going for it. You have an ultra hardcore enforcer who's won multiple Stanley Cup trophies, and he is skating onto the other team's side of the ice like, go ahead and do something about this if you want to try and stop me. And nobody on the other team does nothing. And then he comes out in the game and flattens people. It's just from a physicality standpoint, Thomas, that has to be in the mind of the opponent.
Well, of course. I mean, you could see when, go back to that first goal that the Bruins scored. The enforcer over there and Reeves went for the extra hit. And it kind of tag-teamed one of the Bruins guys who passed it, chipped it out, and we had the 2-on-1 and scored the first goal. They were a little over-aggressive. I think that's just part of hockey. But the Bruins have been smarter so far. They've been out there, they've been hitting them, but they haven't put themselves in a spot where they're out of position after those hits.
Agreed.
They can keep that going. They're going to be just fine. I think Toronto tried to match the intensity, try to match the physicality of the Bruins early because no one was going to do it. They just couldn't keep up with it.
The hit by Morgan Geekie later in the game was incredible.
Yeah, no, they've been punishing them, but the Bruins have been playing great. They have a good team. They just got to stick together. Obviously, getting the first goal is huge. I don't know the exact stats on it, but the team that scores first has a way higher percentage of winning the game. So coming out there and having your fourth line, putting it in there for them helps a lot.
And as you said, I really felt it was taking advantage of Toronto overextending themselves. They came out flying around trying to lay huge hits on our guys, and they tried once too many times because they didn't make it. We cleared a puck, get it out into the open ice, and boom, we got a 2-on-1, and Beecher just lays in a perfect one-timer. It's a fantastic goal to get things started, and it's just a message to Toronto, like, hey, keep trying to nail us. And, you know, it might backfire on you. Speaking of backfiring, who's starting in net tonight?
That's a tough one. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think with the way Sway's been playing, he's going to go right back to them. You're 4-0 against the Leafs this year. You had another incredible game. You have a day off. He's young. You put him in now and then go from there after this next game. But maybe start Allmark up in Toronto. But I would go back just this one time. I'm not saying you should play the whole playoffs until it's done, but you kind of have a hard time. You want to really, like, old school, like a little, you know, you never change a winning team. And they've been incredible. They spanked them 5-1 on home ice. Why not go back with the exact same lineup?
I'm starting Linus Ullmark tonight, 100% definitely. I called into WEEI this morning. Greg Hill puts me right on because he has a lot of love for Jimmy from New Hampshire. And I said, Linus is starting tonight. Swayman's starting game 3. We're holding true to the plan going in. We're not deviating. That's what I say. If Swayman did happen to start tonight, even if you win, you're then in a no-win situation moving forward. I just don't think you want to switch things up, Thomas, based on you said all season long we're going to go every other. Why should that change after one game like the other night?
Yeah, no, at the end of the day, that's coach's call, and he's going to make it whatever way he would. I agree, and I said that before. I think there needs to be two goalies. I'm okay with it. It doesn't need to be the old school where one guy plays all the way. Right now, though, with a 5-1 win and him playing the way he did, because he had some great faces in there. So it wasn't like one of those games where he didn't have anything to do, right? He played well. I would say play him again, whatever happens this game. Next one, Allmark starts, and then kind of go from there again. Allmark plays great on the road. Maybe that's their new thing. One plays at home, one plays on the road. But for now, I would go with him again just the way he played.
I don't think
you can be wrong either. Like, I really don't think it's going to matter.
Thomas,
both of them are ready.
You and me just showed society the way that people should handle disagreements. Respectfully, listening to each other, and then guess what? It's neither of our call. Jim Montgomery's on the hot seat. He's making that call. We're going to transition to commercial right now. We'll be back with more of this stuff on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Such a great start to the playoff season. The Celtics and the Bruins. Not me. Not with my Chicago Bulls. Guaranteed. I'm going to try and make up for that, though. In the future, Kentucky Derby is right around the corner, everybody. A week from Saturday. Like, less than 2 weeks away. Kentucky Derby is here. I got a horse that's going to be a little bit under the radar, which I have a story about. And a take on why I think it could win. We'll save that for a day in the not-too-distant future. My brother Dave is on the line here right now. I know you like some horse racing and some Kentucky Derby stuff. Do you not? Oh, I know you do. You're just being coy and shy about it. That's all right. We'll dive into that some other time. Random thought right here, I will say, on the drive-in today. I heard the Beyonce country song. It's the second time I've heard it, and it's absolutely atrocious. I feel insulted as an individual, as a consumer, that the elites have tried to ram that down our throats, Beyonce transitioning into country. Stay out of country. That music's horrible. That song is a terrible attempt at a line dancing song. I'm insulted, and I would ask you respectfully to stay in your lane. My brother Dave, welcome to your lane, which is right here on the Sports Machine with Slim.
Good morning, Slim. Am I coming in clear?
Oh, you're coming in crystal clear right now. Just building up suspense for people that want to hear your take on either the Celtics or the Bruins. Where do you have the most cutting-edge take this morning?
Well, I think probably on the Celtics game. I mean, you hit on it a little bit in your first segment, but at the end of that game, I thought it was very interesting. And a lot of talk about that Caleb Martin character. Was it a dirty play? A lot of people in the media seemed to be saying that, hey, it was just a hard-nosed play, not looking at the guy. But I just got to tell you, it's like, you know, if that was Draymond Green or Marcus Smart, I think that guy would be looking at a suspension, never mind people calling it or maybe calling it a dirty play.
Well, we got a that's a good feed in here, Dave, and there was no collusion between us on this, but I actually have something all teed up. Andrew's in the studio there, and he's going to play a clip right now from the NBC Sports Boston, Celtics on NBC Sports Boston's Brian Scalabrine. Post game. Go ahead, Andrew. Let's see what he has to say.
I don't want to break it down while we're knocking down all those threes, but here it is right here. Look at. All right. The only thing I would say about this is I'm not trying to start nothing here, but I'm just. Eric Spoelstra called a timeout with a minute 30 down by 16. 30 seconds later, that play happens. 30 seconds later, why is he calling a timeout at 1:30?
Down 16.
And then why is that play happening? That play right there, 30 seconds later. I don't know, man. It looks shady to me.
What you call that?
Code red.
Thank you very much, Andrew.
Explain to the people what code red.
Dave, if you were on the show with Brian Scalabrine post-game there, what would you have to say?
I couldn't hear his take. So unfortunately, I don't know exactly what he said, but I can't tell you. It's a very, very dirty play. The Celtics, I thought Tatum did a great job of just stepping up and handling it the right way. Jaylen Brown kind of put his hand initially on Caleb Martin. I kind of liked his reaction, but I would like to have seen a little bit more fire from the Celtics. That would have been my one response.
I agree, and what I was thinking for myself as a hot-headed basketball player who's got a vicious temper on the court, when the next possession down the court, Jason Tatum had the ball, and he was being guarded by Caleb Martin. If I had been playing, I definitely would have just intentionally dribbled right into him with my shoulder, right into his chest, and plowed him over and gotten called for an offensive foul just to be like, hey, if you're going to do that to me when I'm not looking, I'm going to do this to you when you are looking. But maybe that's why, as I rewind in my basketball career, I got cold cocked right in the face and knocked out on the court by one dude because he didn't like the way that I played so rough sometimes.
Tatum got him, on the next play down, he come across and hit him with an elbow in the chin. And, not nearly as drastic a response as maybe you'd like to see. I would like to see a little more fire from the team, but the reality is when you have a team full of that kind of talent, right, and Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday, like, I don't think that those guys, like, that's the one thing that the Celtics do miss on this team. Because they have so much talent, they don't have those guys who would, like, if Jacoby Brissett was on the floor, he's the kind of guy, he would have probably run right at Caleb Martin, got right in his face. Like, that's the one thing I think the Celtics do miss.
I would think that Xavier Tillman. Yeah, would have been that guy. Obviously, he's not on the court. And in the end, I will tell you, Dave, when Tatum went down the other end of the court, I don't know if you saw this, to go shoot the free throws, because he's like, all right, let's go down the other end of the court. When Caleb Martin walked by him, he tapped him on the chest. Did you see that? Like, Tatum was like, okay, it's cool.
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, if you rewind it, I had to watch it three times. Oh, no, he did. He tapped him right on the chest, like, hey, it's cool. It's not cool. Dude, here's the thing. You're in the timeout, a minute and a half, and what happens is Eric Spoelstra is going, listen, guys, we got to play them in game two. We're not laying down right now. We need to show them what they're going to be in for next game. I don't think he says somebody needs to go and run over Tatum necessarily, but he obviously didn't say don't go run over Tatum.
I'm sure he didn't, but I will say, from Tatum's end, I don't want Tatum to get all fired up. I don't want him to have to be the guy that's getting dirty, getting in the trenches and trying to set the tone. If you do that with your play, I think he was maybe the only player in the NBA over the first eight games here to have a triple-double. Right? He was definitely the best player on the court. He controlled the game from start to finish. I think it was 14-0 to start. So, I mean, he did exactly what you want him to do. And I don't want him getting off his game. That's the one thing I think with Spoelstra and Miami, that's what they're going to try and do. They're going to try and get Tatum off his game, get him to try and score 50, stop being the ball distributor. And that's where with Tatum, like, hey, okay, I like exactly what you did. I love your response. You jumped up. You didn't sit down and groan about the call or about the play. You went down, you shot your free throws. Like, get right back to the game. Let the other guys on your team come in and let them be the hard-nosed, gritty players. Like, I mean, maybe make a couple substitutions, Joe Mazzulla, a little earlier in this next game.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, Dave, is how about like a minute into game two if something similar happens? Let's just say the exact same play happens. How do you respond?
Yeah, I'm putting a couple of my other guys from the bench in the game. Like Jacoby Brissett, I'm going to put him in the game. Say, and I'm going to tell him.
Yeah, I don't think it's Jacoby. O'Shea Brissett. I like Jacoby. Your toughness, though. I like Jacoby Brissett. I'm with you. When you said it the first time, I was like, oh, interesting past Patriots reference.
Right, former Patriots quarterback. But yeah, no, O'Shea, right, honest hour. Listen, no, I just think he's a really gritty, hard-nosed defensive player. You could put him on there, the player of your choice, and like let them get the basketball and then tell them, get right in their grill. Get right, if they go to drive, like get right under their feet. If they go in for a rebound, like just do all the things that players hate. Right, from playing back, I hated when people got under my feet. I hated when people got just up under my hip, right? You're trying to drive the ball. Like, those are just plays where people get hurt. That's what I would be telling them. Like, listen, get in the game. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but if they're going to play like that on the edge, we need to do the same.
Oh, Tatum could have easily gotten hurt on that play. He could have so easily come down with his head on the court. And all I'm saying is, if you're Joe Mazzulla and you're sitting, you're watching the tape, you're going, well, what's going on here? Oh, did he try to hurt him? I don't know. If it comes out and it happens, a real physical play at the beginning of the second game here, what I would do as a coach is I would have in my mind made up, who are my five substitutions for, like, tough guy lineup? And Xavier Tillman is definitely in it. And I don't care if we're a minute into the first quarter of the game two. If that play happens, I am substituting all my starters out. I'm putting the next five guys in, and we're going to lay somebody out.
I don't think I'm substituting all five of my guys out. I have no problem with Jaylen Brown being on the floor or Drew Holiday. Right, but I do think at some point you need to respond. It can't just always be, if Miami's delivering a message, sometimes you have to respond to it.
You got it. And I will say, yesterday, Miami tried to deliver a message with their zone defense. If you watched, at the end of the first quarter and into the first 3, 4, 5 minutes of the second quarter, they went to that zone defense, and Doogie/Sam Hauser made 4 threes, dude. He drove them right out of that zone defense so quick.
Yeah, really, a couple of what I thought were very quick, decisive passes. Tatum made one really good one to Peyton Pritchard, and I think he was in the air. He didn't even come down. He kicked it right to Hauser. That's how you're going to beat the zone. You got to find your best shooter, and if you make them rotate, you can get anybody open in the NBA if they're playing a zone defense. That's the one thing. Everybody now, they're too good. So if you just find out who do you want the ball to go to, and then you just got to make the right kind of passes. And they did it. But like you said, I think it was 4 out of 7 possessions, too. They just kept giving them wide open threes. Miami eventually just had to leave that strategy in the dust.
Yeah, I love Eric Spoelstra, and it was worth trying it because they had been so hot anyway earlier. It was worth trying it. Dave, I need 5 words or 10 words or less out of you. Post-game, the Knicks beat the 76ers. Their fans were out in the stadium, out in the streets chanting, "We want Boston next." What do you think they're going to be rooting for here if they run into us in the playoffs?
They're in a lot of trouble.
The New York Knicks fans want Boston. After a game one victory, they're already thinking they can't play us for 2 more rounds. Let's see what happens. The Sports Machine with Slim continues on today. WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, New Hampshire Talk Radio. Segment of the day. Man, it goes by so fast. We covered what we needed to, though. How would we respond if the Miami Heat lay us out a minute into game two? Sub everybody out. Second unit. Send in the MASH unit. Let's get in there. Cornette, you can be part of that. We'll put Tillman at the 4. Boston Bruins, what are we going to do tonight? We're going to start Linus Allmark. I haven't seen it on Twitter yet. I haven't seen it announced anywhere. You have to start this guy. If we're not starting him tonight, I'm mad tomorrow. I'll just tell you right now. And I'll be like more mad than I am about my incorrect Chicago Bulls prediction. But I'm not. I'm going to stay positive and confident. We're going to start Linus Allmark just the way that we were supposed to. That was the plan from the get-go. Don't deviate the plan. I'll tell you something. I wrote up a list. I think I'm going to write another article today, but this one's going to be about the Bruins. I wrote like a top 10 list of things that are different and why the Bruins are going to like go all the way this year, I guess. I guess that's ultimately what I'm saying. And the list includes the D pairings, the fact that we traded for Andrew Peak. Grizzlick is playing way better. I don't know if everybody else is noticing this. I was on him mid-season. Turnovers, lackadaisical play, really not doing anything great, honestly. Now I see him as just a steady, steady contributor. Shattenkirk had a couple of issues in game one that stood out to me. So now my eyes are on him. Don't mess this thing up, dude. Brandon Carlo's playing strong. You have an incredible D1 pairing with Charlie McAvoy and Lindholm. Don't screw this up. Everything on the defensive end looks great. Peak Grizzlick. That was supposed to be our weakness. Shattenkirk, you need to hold up your side of the deal, dude. Faceoffs, number two, what's different? Remember the beginning of the season, everybody's complaining about how we're losing faceoffs. Charlie Coyle is definitely winning more than 50% of his faceoffs. I haven't even looked at the statistics. Pavel Zacha, he's winning his fair share. Our faceoffs are a strength now. Definitely not a weakness. Linus Ullmark, how great has he been with our man Jeremy Swayman? The two-goalie system, actually using it, that's a difference maker. You better use it tonight. Jim Montgomery, I know you will. I have faith in you, Jim Montgomery. I know you are a man of your word, and you're going to do the right thing. You need to start Linus Ullmark tonight. Charlie McAvoy is very possibly the very best defensive player in hockey when you combine his defense and his offense. I love Charlie McAvoy. I think he could win the most valuable player of the playoffs award pretty easily. Number five, Pat Maroon. I already told you. He's skating on the other side of the ice. This guy, nobody wants to mess with this guy. He is a freight train coming down on you, and he knows how to hit without getting called for a penalty. Like, he's not cheap-shotting guys in the back. He's coming in from the side just enough and just absolutely face-planting them into the glass or into our boards. He checked the guy right into our bench. It was awesome. We didn't trade Jake DeBrusk. How huge was that? Like, lots of people saying, well, it's a big salary. We're not going to be able to keep him after the year. You got to get something for him. No, 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 no. Let a guy like that play it out. He's motivated now. He's a guy who knows. Dude, he can make millions of dollars for himself how he plays over the next few weeks. You don't think that's in his mind at all in that game one, what he did? And now he's feeling like, dude, it's going to go in if I shoot it. I'm feeling money. I'm feeling electric. The fact that he's here, huge. Jack Edwards, his last season, calling games for the Bruins. That's a rallying cry. That's a cool point. That's a reason why we're going to win. The struggles we went through early in the year where we were blowing the leads and losing in overtime or shootouts. And then towards the end of the season, the last 20 games or so, we really figured out how to win those types of games. We weren't blowing the leads as much anymore. It made us grow tough, intestinal fortitude. We know, don't let your foot off the gas. Jim Montgomery, it's his second season. The first time around, greatest regular season in the history of hockey. Go into the playoffs. It comes at you fast, man. You're up 3-1. Oh, Mark's your starting goalie. Swayman gets the game 7. It's just, it was a lot for him to have to deal with. Make it easy on yourself, but don't make it easy on yourself, Jim Montgomery. There's a lot of talking heads, a lot of people out there saying start Swayman in game 2 because he played so great in game 1. That's not how it works. Ullmark tonight is up to the challenge. He's ready to play. He wants the puck. He wants the ball. It's his turn tonight. Let him have that opportunity. So many reasons why this Bruins team can go all the way. The Celtics, why can they go all the way? Well, because they're the best team. They're the deepest. And I know I interacted with somebody on Twitter saying, oh, sorry, it was on one of the Facebook posts actually saying, you're wrong. The Celtics are not the most talented team. The Denver Nuggets are. They have Nikola Jokic, and they're the defending champions. And I said, hey, I agree with you. With Jokic and Jamal Murray, they're the best 1-2 combination in the NBA right now. Nobody can debate that. But the Celtics are deeper. Come on. Sam Hauser came off the bench. He scored 5 threes. I don't even really think that guy should be playing because his defense, it's a weakness. And against some team, it's going to get exposed. I'm just telling you that. He's a heck of a player. And when he's shooting like that, come on. Incredible. The gift that Miami gave us by dropping it to the zone when Sam Hauser was on the court, kind of head-scratching by Eric Spoelstra. He won't do that again, though. Trust that. If he's going to go into the zone, he's going to do it when Hauser's not on the court. It's like, you might want to take that into consideration next time, Eric Spoelstra, even though you are incredible. But he's a guy who I know is going to watch the tape and try to adjust. How do you adjust? You got to play tougher. That's what the call was with a minute and a half left at the end of the last game. They're down 15. Scalabrine says, why are they calling a timeout there? Because he's like, we're going to need to play tougher next game. You're going to have to get on the offensive glass. And Caleb Martin's like, yeah, and just flies in there and does a totally reckless move. You could take out an absolute superstar. What if Tatum came down and smashed his head and he's out for the playoffs now? Like, that could have happened. It didn't. Thank goodness. You can't play like that, Caleb Martin. And I don't think you should be dapping the guy or tagging the guy on the chest, saying, oh, that's cool. You know, I know you didn't mean to do it. He did mean to do it, dude. He came flying in there out of control. He meant to do it. Like, that guy needs to understand you need to control yourself. You can't be doing stuff like that. Pat Maroon, he's under control. He's under control. What's going to happen tonight? Because Toronto, there was no fights in the last game. And there's not typically a lot of fights in the playoffs. But I'm just going to tell you, I was at the home game, the Bruins against Toronto, the last time we played at Boston in the regular season, which was just a handful of days. It was like 4 days after the Bruins had beaten Toronto in Toronto 4-1. Then we came home 3-4 days later, the game I'm at, we won 4-1. Now, the next time we played Toronto was the other day. We went 5-1. So we're beating them 13-3 the last team three times we played. But the home game I went to, Toronto played extremely physical. And there were many fights, lots of dust-ups, to the point where people don't know this. I mentioned it once or twice on the air here, but Swayman was in goal that game. And in the middle of a dust-up, a Donnybrook, whatever, there were multiple guys engaged in different levels of fights and just in each other's face for like a minute. Swayman skates up, and he's at half ice. He's at center ice, and he makes eye contact. He's waving to the Toronto goalie. I don't remember which guy was in goal that night for Toronto. But Swayman started moving his hands like, hey, you want to go? You want to go? Swayman wanted to fight that night, and it didn't happen. So I'm just saying tonight, Toronto at some point is going to look to fight. The last 10 fights the Bruins have been in, they got their rear ends kicked. All of them. The Bruins have not won a fight in the last 10 that we've had. Sometimes we've gotten crushed. I remember that Wotherspoon guy, he got run out of the building. He kind of started it, and it was the right time for a fight, but he just got demolished. But the next play out on the ice for him, when he got out of the penalty box, he's right in somebody's face. He's doing his job checking. That's what's up with this Bruins team. Well, tonight, what happens if there's a fight? And most importantly, does Toronto want to challenge Pat Maroon? Because I'm sure they know in that locker room he was skating on their side of the ice prior to the warm-up. So you want to be tuned tonight to this Bruins game right from the drop of the puck. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a dust-up even pregame. There should be. If you're Toronto, I mean, what are you just going to slink back and, you know, into obscurity? The head coach over there is about to get fired. I mean, his last 3 years, they've had great regular season records. We talked about it the other day. First round playoff exit, second round playoff exit. They go out in the first round here in embarrassing fashion to the Bruins, getting physical, like run out of the town with no objection or resistance. He's going to get fired. This guy's going to need to fight tonight. I hope Pat Maroon steps up and makes us 1-10 in our last 11. Let's see what happens, people. This is the Sports Machine with Slim. Tell me this is not awesome sports talk radio, because you'd be wrong. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. WKXL is on 1450 a.m., 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. You got it in the right place. NHTalkRadio.com.